Getting healthy on a budget can be tough, but that's where Nourish comes in. Nourish connects you with a registered dietitian for expert nutrition advice without the high cost. The best part? 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket since Nourish works with hundreds of insurance plans like Blue Cross Blue Shield, Aetna, and United. Meet with your dietitian online from home or message them through the Nourish app for extra support. Staying healthy has never been this affordable. Match with your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Some history made out on the island yesterday, and unfortunately it comes from an opposing team. There are a couple of different ways to attack this, BT. You have one way, I have another. I just don't... I get that everybody wants to be a part of history. I mean, I have my cousin who's a lifelong Islander fan, season tickets, texting me yesterday pictures of the Ovechkin stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, you're an Islander fan. You should have sold the tickets and made more money. Why? I never liked it when I was a Met fan going to Shea Stadium when McGuire was going nuts during the 98 home run chase and fans were cheering for him. I don't like how fans get caught up in the history of something and making that leapfrog the rooting interest of your team. I'm not saying everybody does that, but that's what I felt. Like, yesterday wasn't about the Islanders and their win and maybe trying to hold on and hold out hope, even though against the odds they made the playoffs, whatever it is. It was about Ovechkin and people going nuts and needing to see history. What do I care? I can't stand the Capitals. I don't really like Ovechkin necessarily, and I don't want to see him pass Wayne Gretzky because he's not a fraction of the player Gretzky was. So the history standpoint of it, that bothered me a little bit.
I am less captivated by history as I get older. There was a point where I was all into it. You mentioned McGuire chase. I remember being at a Jets preseason game. Mets had a doubleheader that night, I remember. And I believe Mark McGuire went deep in both. He definitely went deep in one.
Yeah, because I was at both. I think he hit. He might have hit two homers. One might have been off Willie Blair, if memory recalls. He might have hit two.
He did something good. I know he went he definitely at least hit once. One. I think it was twice. Right. I remember very. You know, this 1998.
But it was a doubleheader. Good call. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. That was a fun year for the Jets. 12-4 AFC Championship game. And I remember being in the parking lot. It was a summer night. I forget who the Jets were playing in the preseason. And we had WFAN blaring, hammering some beers, listening to Mark. Like, I was riveted by it. I told you the story when, obviously the same year, I'm in Myrtle Beach, my annual golf trip. We're playing 36. We make the turn after the first. We sit down to get something to eat, and we see Traxel. He takes Traxel deep, and it was like 20 of us,
that
and we
was
went 62? Bonkers.
Yeah, that was 62.
The line drive that just cleared the fence in left field. And we went bonkers. I love that stuff. I love certain aspects of history, but the problem with history to me is that the games have changed so much. Like, how can I get excited? I didn't, as a spoiler. How can I get excited as LeBron James, the all-time leading scorer, when he had a three-point shot, Kareem didn't. Not that Kareem would take him. And Jordan did, but the volume wasn't nearly what it was back in the day. Same with Karl Malone as a big. I couldn't get excited about that. I think the only thing that would really excite me would be if somebody hits a 74th home run, and it very well might be Aaron Judge,
right?
Or if somebody eventually breaks, and I believe it's still Hank Aaron, that home run record would excite me.
You weren't into 62, though, with Judge, no?
No, that was 100%. Okay. No, right. I just omitted that. That was obvious. Yeah. Like, that to me, I'm talking more totality of achievements rather than the singular 1 year. That's why I omitted Judge. I was so into that with Judge.
All right, well, what if somebody was doing it against your team? See, that's where I take
issue. What's my team doing to the the Islanders are dead.
Well,
the Islanders stink. Well, it does, because there's nothing to root for.
You're going to go root for a guy to break history, make history against your team, break a record against your team?
What's the more memorable night? I mean, if I go to UBS and I'm a diehard Islanders fan and I've got Now, if you could bank $500, $600, $700 and you don't have the money, I would suggest, you know, maybe you can use that money. Maybe you do, but it's a transaction. But if I'm a fan and I'm a Mike Schwartz, he loves the Islanders, yeah, right? I mean, he was probably there anyway. He probably freebied his way in. But, like, what I would do is I would go and I would absorb that history with my own. I mean, it's Wayne Gretzky who was there, who was following him around.
Okay.
The symmetry of the games played. Like, that would usurp a team that's out of it and stinks for
me. Right, but it has nothing to do with the Islanders.
But I know, but if the Islanders...
Except they're on the wrong end of history.
Yeah, but what's more memorable? An Islanders game that means nothing because they stink, or you being able to tell everybody forever, I saw Ovechkin get the only goal in a 4-1 loss where he passed Gretzky.
Would you want
to
go to Yankee Stadium and see somebody throw a perfect game or a no-hitter against you?
I wouldn't want to see it. No, I
but if it's happening...
Yanks
down 4-1 or 5... Oh, I guess 5-0. Yanks down 5-0, perfect game going against them. You're rooting to not break it up because you want to see history?
No, but that's different. Like, the motivation going into a game versus the mindset as a storyline begins to develop, they could be two very different things. Like, I'm never going into saying, I hope history occurs against my team.
But you're going into this game. Islander fans were going to that game hoping to see history.
Yeah.
Like, hey, look, Ovechkin scored a goal against us. Now, they happened to win, so it didn't hurt them.
They won by 3 goals.
Okay,
they smacked
them. But still, hey, look, that replay is going to be shown forever.
And they were there to see it. And they were there to see it.
So what did happen against their team? So what? Their team get a goal score
on
them?
The Islanders, come on.
History?
I mean, listen, if it's a playoff record, like, that's one thing. Sadly, that's going to probably be the greatest Islander memory in the last couple of years for some of those fans.
But that's the point. That's exactly my point.
But it's not their fault. They can't. All they can control is, do they go or do they not? And unless you really, really need the money, which I would respect. But if you don't need the money and it's disposable income, go and see history.
I mean, Al Downing was there to see history, too. You think he likes being remembered for giving up that home run?
Hank Aaron?
Yeah, I mean.
No, he doesn't. But that's different than a fan. Al Downing's a piece of the puzzle, and his name will live in infamy a bit strong. But you know what I mean. Every time you see Hank Aaron running around the bases, we know that Al Downing gave it up, and he served it into the Braves' bullpen at left field.
Hoff, can you clarify that McGuire double dip? I was on hand for BT member. Did Willie Blair pitch one of those games for the Mets?
I have to check that out.
Oh, okay.
That should be a roto sheet thing.
Yeah.
I do know that he hit a home run in both games, number 50 and then 51.
That's what I thought. I did not think it was 2-1. Right. I thought it was 1-8. I don't even remember Willie Blair's name.
It was a single admission doubleheader. Where are you getting that, Hoff? I want to go to Baseball Reference just to confirm if memory serves correct. I guess it would be McGuire home run log.
Now, you were there for that. You're a big-time Mets fan.
Yeah, single admission, double dip. Like, that was a gold mine back in the
day. Yes, it must have been.
1998? Are you kidding me? And I love Mark McGuire.
I know, and you didn't find
that. I was rooting against him. Fans were rooting for him to hit home runs. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Same thing for Sammy Sosa that year when he came in.
Yeah, so when he hits, but you weren't a huge Sosa fan. You were a big McGuire fan.
Yeah, but either way.
I knew you were a bigger Mets fan.
Yeah, well, that's the point. They're rooting for a record, and the Mets weren't that good in 98. I know they barely missed out on the postseason, but still, it's not like the Mets had anything that they were really playing for.
What was the reaction? Again, I'm in the Meadowlands parking lot getting ready for a Jet summer game. It was like in unison. Were there 30,000? We'll get the attendance for it. Like, was it the way that summer went? My memory would tell me that was a pretty explosive moment that almost all Met fans joined in on, and I don't blame them.
Let's see. Here we go. I have it up here. This is. No, is this not right? Okay, at Mets. When was it, Hoff? You have
August
the date,
something.
August 20th, 1998.
Okay, I'm pulling it up right here. August 20th, here we go.
All right.
Mets won the first game. No, wait, this can't be right. August 20th, you said? Where am I looking
at? It was definitely in August.
Yeah, why would it not be right?
I'm sorry. I'm looking at it from a Mets perspective. Yeah, it says 2-0 win, but this is the Cardinals page, so that's why. Okay, so McGuire homered, as you said, in both games. Now I'm trying to see the first game. I want to say I'm pulling that up to see if he did in fact hit it off of Willie Blair. And this means nothing. Yeah, Willie Blair started.
Wow,
that
that's
game.
A good call, Willie Blair.
Willie Blair. Like, why would I even remember?
I remember
his
Willie
name?
Banks from Jersey City.
He started.
Paul Blair's. I don't remember Willie Blair.
I mean, listen to this Mets lineup.
B. Brian Blair, of course. Yeah. Wrestling. There you go. He'll kill the base.
Tony Phillips.
Oh god.
This is game one.
Tony Phillips. He was a madman.
Tony Phillips.
Nuts.
I like him. Good play.
Yeah, he was intense.
Tony Phillips. Jermaine Allensworth.
Jeez.
Matt Franco. This is 1-2-3.
Lefty Matt Franco. Good God
almighty.
This
is 1-2-3.
I mean, just bronze the statue of Cohen now. That's your 1-2-3. That is gross.
Piazza.
All right.
Alfonso.
All right.
Hundley in left field.
All right. Not a good fielder, Masher.
Luis Lopez. Ordóñez, Willie Blair.
God, that's a disgusting now
again,
lineup.
It is a doubleheader.
I like those Mets better. Bring those guys back.
Yeah, how'd they ever lose 2-0? You wonder. I mean, good God.
What about the second day lineup? The second game.
Let's see. Game two.
He hit Mets off of Rick Reed.
Oh, Rick.
In the top of the first.
The righty. I remember Rick well.
He's pretty good, Rick. Mets lineup a lot better in this one.
What do you got?
Phillips.
Okay.
Alfonso. Mm-hmm. Olrude. Mm-hmm. Piazza.
Oh, here we go.
Brian McGray.
Oh, my goodness.
Baerga, Ordóñez, Rick Reed.
Oh, okay. My God. What was the attendance? It had to be 40,000. Well, it was, I think it was 45,000. A Saturday night.
45,000.
Of course. So you're trying to tell me that.
And the majority of them are probably rooting for McGuire.
Well, and you think that that's upset. Wrong?
I remember two things about that night.
What?
Met fans being, a lot of people cheering for St. Louis and McGuire specifically.
Well, not cheering for the Cardinals.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, for McGuire and me being upset and Willie Blair. Those, for whatever reason, those are the two things I remember about that night.
45,000. Was it a Saturday? Because it had to be a Friday or a Saturday. Jets are playing a preseason game. Had to be a Saturday.
No, Thursday.
Really?
Yeah,
they did do a couple of
things. There you go, Thursday night.
Maybe that was the last one. Well, that may have been against the Eagles. Either way, we're getting off the rails here. But the bottom line is, let me just go down this rabbit
Ovechkin.
Hole of minutia. I do not begrudge Islander fans at all. Matter of fact, if you didn't revel, if you're a hockey fan, and I don't mean so, hey, you want, there's something happening that it could be pretty interesting to, at UBS tomorrow. I have an extra ticket. You want to come? I don't mean that person. If you're like Boomer, like CeeLo, just a devout, even Hoff is a big hockey fan. Bigger, you're a hockey fan, but those guys are monster hockey fans. And you couldn't enjoy that celebration? I mean, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, if it were against my team, then
it's a meaningless game. It means nothing.
I wouldn't want to see it against my team. That's it.
Then you're a better fan than us.
Oh, no, it means nothing. I just never subscribe to that. And, okay, great. And by the way, to your point before about the records, I think that is one of the more significant ones that would draw interest. You're talking about home run record. I don't know if there is an equivalent in basketball. You mentioned the LeBron thing with the total points. I don't
think that's not anymore, Sal.
So the
not
goal
with basketball.
Scored.
Tiger Woods, if he would have broke Jack with the majors, that would have been right there.
Nobody's going to sniff Gretzky's total points. I'm trying to hold back a sneeze here. Nobody's going to sniff Gretzky's total points. And you look at the amount of assists he had. It's just off the charts. Like, and that's why I can't stand the headlines. Oh, the great one with Ovechkin. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, Gretzky was so much better.
It's also a team that, I mean, do I need to remind Islander fans about Dale Hunter and Pierre Turgeon?
Ooh.
This is the Capitals here. Mm. It's not like some, you know, the Sharks, some team without any history.
It could have been the Rangers when Gretzky did it to them.
That's what I mean. I mean, Gretzky scoring against the Islanders. It's the hated Capitals. You're rooting for it just to say, well, I was there for history. Big deal.
Well, hold on. You don't have any shade of gray in you, usually. It doesn't mean they were rooting for it, but it's okay to react to it if it happens.
You know that everybody that went to that game yesterday.
They wanted to see some history.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were rooting for history.
I guess
the place erupted.
I can't blame them. I can't blame them at all. Don't you think, again, sports is, like, LeBron's not a good example because LeBron, you know, basically, we thought he was coming here and then he didn't. So, there's no love lost with LeBron. I'm just not a LeBron fan. I think a lot of Knicks fans agree at this point. But there were, like, when Kobe scored, what, the 61?
Yeah.
At the Garden? I mean, that's...
Again,
I know.
It's a great example.
Yeah, yeah. We had a problem with that, too.
Yeah, it's a great example. I hated that. Oh, yeah, that's what I want to see. LeBron go nuts at the Garden, or Kobe go nuts at the Garden, or Jordan go nuts at the Garden, or Steph Curry go nuts at the Garden. Need I go on? I don't want to see that. I want to see the Knicks shut them down.
Yeah, but you have to remember when it happened. Knicks teams were not good.
I know.
Think about this. When Michael dropped the 55, that double nickel, I was there for that game. I told you that. When he dumped off to Bill Wennington from St. John's.
I remember.
I was there.
It's one of the worst memories that I have. I wasn't at the game.
And we weren't cheering when he had 55. We weren't like, oh, maybe he can get 60. Because that was kind of maybe not the apex of the Nick Bull rivalry, but it was still, you know, white hot. The Islanders stink. It's Gretzky's record. What has that building given? What has the building given you?
I know.
Besides maybe a couple of good concerts.
All right, but still, I don't want to see history. I mean,
I'm not changing your mind.
BT and Sal. No, I get your perspective. I'm just giving you my perspective. Yeah. BT and Sal, at least I'm consistent. If I were booing McGuire and the fans who were supporting him, a guy that I liked in 1998, why am I going to go nuts for a Washington Capitol about to break the greatest hockey player ever's record against, quote unquote, my team? That's not my team. He didn't do it against the Rangers. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Do you think it would have been
personalize
the same?
Personalize it. It's going to be
well,
different. Go
well,
ahead.
Do you think? No, it's not even personalized.
Okay.
Do you think it was going to be the same thing if it happened at Madison Square Garden. Seriously.
I need to let this marinate for a second.
Because I don't. As somebody who's experienced in going to these games, I'm not trying to say Ranger fans are better than Islander fans. Whatever. Every fan has good.
Definitely not better. There's a lot more of them, but they're not better.
I cannot imagine. Now, there would be some. Don't get me wrong. I cannot imagine the place erupting like that in the moment if a Washington Capital or Ovechkin scored a goal to break a former Rangers record as well, but at the world's most famous arena.
I want to say that you're right, but I don't think that you are. I think the depth of the record book and the level of achievement would override everything else that you just said. Because it's Gretzky, I know he's a Capital, I know he's Ovechkin,
yeah, I
know Ranger
are big,
fans are territorial, yeah. I know the Garden, I get it. I think there's more tourists that infiltrate the Garden for the Knicks than the Rangers. It's a Rangers game. You got 19,000 so Ranger fans there. You have 13,000 and 6,000 from all over the world.
If it were Sidney Crosby breaking that record, do you think Ranger fans could be doing the same thing? Like, this is what I mean. This is Ovechkin and the Capitals.
What did Ovechkin ever do to the Islander fan?
Oh, it's the Capitals.
But what did Ovechkin ever do to the Islander fan?
I mean, didn't they beat him in playoff series? I mean, I'm sure he has. I forget the exact one. What was the? What wasn't it the Tavares final series there? That was against the Capitals, right? I mean, that was and they beat him there. I mean, I forget the exact history, but the Capitals are a big rival here.
I just think this is the. I don't know what else could happen in sports that would actually excite people. So I'm going to give him a pass again.
I just wish it happened anywhere else.
I get it.
Another team
in Winnipeg.
Exactly.
I get that.
If he were Canuck or whatever.
Well, then we'd say if he was a Canuck with the Ranger fans, even though they won in 94, with the Ranger fans. I mean, you could always add another layer to it, knowing you.
I guess.
Just think that you have to see it. When that thing hits the back of the net, right, I don't know how you don't explode. I mean, think about how long ago it was when Gretzky scored his first goal and then his last goal.
Yeah.
I think, and hockey fans, their appreciation for history. Hockey has not been diluted the way the NBA has, the way the NFL has, with everybody throwing for 4,000 yards and the penalties and everything geared to the offense. You can't play defense. Like, I know hockey certainly changed. I know that. But I think it's changed the least of all the other sports. I don't think there's a meaningful NBA record. Steph Curry banged his 10,000 triple. Wow, fantastic. Oh, my God, amazing. I mean, I don't re- and I like basketball. I don't react to any record in the NBA. And this guy scored 60. This guy scored 70. Great, fantastic. I mean, there's a reason why it's happening more and more prevalently. I think that was so different, so special, so unique. Not only do I give the Islander fans a pass for doing it, I applaud them for understanding what was right in front of them. Good job.
And now, of course, the Islanders and their fans, part of history. You've got to see Ovechkin take the all-time goal-scoring record firsthand against your team and also surpassing Wayne Gretzky, who did score his 894th goal also against the Islanders. Where
at
was
the
that?
Coliseum.
It was at the Coliseum.
March,
so there you go.
1999.
There you go. So
they're
Islanders,
good at something.
The Islanders saw Gretzky as a Ranger score number 894 at the Coliseum, and now you see Ovechkin with the Capitals score 895 against your team again at the new arena, UBS Arena.
Might not have a great team, but they're penchant for top.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Coming out historical events, pretty good.
A men's college basketball game at 7 p.m. on both AM and FM. You went to that at all, the national championship?
Oh, yeah. No, I watched the whole game
really?
Tonight. Oh, yeah. Tonight?
Did you watch the Final Four?
Yeah. I watched more of
Duke
the...
Duke choked that one away?
Yeah. I mean, you're up by 14 points. You got to find a way to bury them.
What was it, 7 points with 30 seconds to go?
Also choke job won, there. Yeah. Bad call on the foul, too, with Cooper Flagg, but... I mean, Houston, in a lot of ways, Houston, you know, just a little bit more of a talented, resilient version of St. John's. Like, you just shoot a little bit better. That's Houston's a defensive team, as we know. Kelvin Sampson's great. I mean, Florida's got, you know, the crazy thing, Walter Clayton, who's Florida's star, you know, Clayton, he was with Pitino at Iona. He had him at Iona.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he wanted to bring him to St. John's along with Danis Jenkins, who was with the Pistons now. So he wanted both of them to go to Iona, from Iona to St. John's,
and what
with
happened?
Him.
Rapoli didn't open up the pockets.
No,
he
did.
What's going on
there? Jenkins went, and Jenkins played well. He's in the NBA now with the Pistons on a two-way deal. But Clayton's from Florida. Florida matched the money, and he wanted to go and play in front of his hometown fans. Walter Clayton's a great, not just a college player, he's going to be a good pro.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I have zero care.
I'm not saying it used to be for me, but I will watch.
Now, I did see, I don't know if I came across it on social media, with Duke blowing that lead, so then I went and sought out the score and sought out the final 30 seconds and saw what happened. But I don't know, I'm not into it at all. With St. John's, yes, but the national, maybe not doing a bracket or not betting on these games, I just don't care. What impact does it have on my life? If I don't have a bracket... and I don't have a rooting interest, and I'm not betting on the game, what do I care if Florida wins or Houston wins or Duke wins?
The only answer would be, like in Evan's case, if you're a fan of the Nets and you're going to have a bunch of first-round picks, I mean, you do a little scouting.
For
sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's one
different story,
tangible thing. So I got to flip something to you, too. So Sal, if you just tuned in, has an issue with Islander fans for cheering Ovechkin's goal.
Yes.
Let's see if Sal's consistent with this. He might be. Does Sal have an issue with the New York Mets on their massive Jumbotron putting the moment on the... on the screen at Citi Field for all the Met fans to see, because that's what happened.
Not necessarily. That's different because Met fans are there to see it. It is a big thing that people want to see.
Yeah.
So I don't begrudge the Mets for deciding to show the fans the goal. Now, what was the reaction?
That's what I
want to know.
Me too. I was trying to ascertain that from the video, but I could not...
It is history.
I'm watching it. Is it in between innings? No, it's between Kirk. Kirk was in the batter's box, I guess. Hold on. And now they're going nuts. I know it's not the best radio. Hold on. They're celebrating here.
And then the Mets PA says,
fans, some history just took place at UBS Arena.
I don't know if they did that, but they're just showing this here. And then Kirk, I guess, is out of the box. I don't know. I can't really tell what the reaction was.
If they dropped it in and it wasn't in between innings, I find that weird. But I would actually be surprised.
I want to be fair to the Mets here. Was that in between?
I thought it was in between
Kirk's at bat. Yeah, Kirk's in the batter's box.
You got to. Why would they just drop a highlight there?
I don't know.
I question the accuracy of this. Not from you, but where are you getting?
It's from John Boy.
And says what? That the Mets showed it on the Jumbo screen?
The Mets showed Ovi's record-breaking goal on the Jumbotron during yesterday's game.
During the game?
Yeah.
Then that's a problem. Well, why would they do it during the game?
I don't know.
If you want to do it during in between innings, I'm fine with that. And announce like, hey, some history just happened right now. And also, you got Toronto fans in a building too. You know, they like hockey from Canada, whatever. Okay, fine. I would, though, be curious. First of all, I think it's wrong to show it during an at-bat in the middle of a game.
I could be wrong. I just see at the end of the video Kirk digging back in, or could he have been leading the inning off. I want to be out of one.
All right, get that one wrong. Let's just assume that they did it the right way and not interrupted.
There's no way they interrupted an at-bat. Okay. Now that I think about it.
Okay,
there's no way they did that.
Okay, now I'd be curious about the reaction from the fans, and I would be surprised if everybody cheered for that. I think that would be pathetic. I'm not saying some people wouldn't cheer for it, but
many Met fans are Islander fans based on the Queens.
Yeah, like
and
if
the
you're not there, why would you cheer that? Okay, great.
You love history.
Do we? Well, it's not your history. I mean, Michael Jordan winning 6 championships—that's history. Knick fans get behind that. I wouldn't.
No, but there's not an isolated moment.
You like Tom Brady winning all those championships as a Jet fan?
No, hold on, I don't. I hate it, actually. I hate every example you give me.
It's history.
I hate them all. I loathe the. If you keep going, you know which ones I would hate. And those are two that I absolutely hate because they directly impacted my team. But it's a little different in the sense that those are journeys encompassing like 15, 20 years. In the case of Tom Brady, you know, multiple championship checkpoints. Ovechkin is like the one moment that encapsulates an entire career, eclipsing the great Wayne Gretzky. Like one single shot.
Let me be clear, because I don't know if I am. I am not minimizing the accomplishment at all. It was, I mean, he broke the all-time goal record. I don't know if you could have a better, the points thing, we talk about that with Gretzky, but this is at the very least second to that. Maybe wouldn't even be more interesting to fans. They like the goals, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not minimizing that. What I'm saying is I don't understand the fan base, the thought process from an Islander fan going to that game to root for history against your team. That's not something, by the way, that's not something I could get behind. Evan texted me during this. Remember, we were talking about the Maguire stuff. That was really the only time. I don't ever remember either being at a game where a guy was throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game against my team.
Were you at the Johan Santana one-hitter, or did you not make that?
I did make that one. But that's an easy route for. I actually gave tickets away to that game.
Hey, Ben.
So Evan writes me, remember Raceman used to do Dweeb of the Week? Does he still do it? I don't know.
Okay.
He has Joe Beningo as the Dweeb of the Week for trashing Met fans who cheered for Mark McGwire and had Shea twinkling at flashbulbs when Big Mac hit 50 and 51 last week.
I could totally hear that coming out of Joe's mouth.
So I was in agreement with Beningo way before I even started working here. This is 1998. I'm with Joe. I agree with that sentiment.
So you got your dweeb like Joe.
Well, I would have been dweeb of the week. I don't know if you're a hero, though,
because you're leading the charge of not rooting against your own team. So Raceman was saying he was a dweeb because he was just like stepping on history and minimizing
history. I guess, getting on the Met fans for cheering it. Yeah, so Raceman's one of these guys who probably wouldn't want to be out at UBS if you were an Islander fan and rooting for history. Okay. The real sports fan, you cannot root against your team. You can acknowledge and appreciate history when it happens. Going there to root for it, to me, is where I draw
the line. But how do you know that everybody walked in there with a single-minded mission to root for? You don't. You just said that. You know that.
They wanted to see it.
Okay, but they're also Islander fans. Listen, so you don't think that they walked in
They got
in
to see
saying,
it twice now. Gretzky did it to them on the island.
Here's what I think the diehard Islander fan was thinking yesterday. The diehard, lunatic, devout, crazy Islander fan. In their own mind, they're holding out hope that they can win. However, they have a couple of games left. What are they, 7-8 points beyond? Whatever they
are. I don't know.
They're not going to the playoffs. But in their minds, because we've all been in that desperate situation, you're not eliminated until you're eliminated. They are probably saying, I desperately want to win this game, and I would love to see, in round two victory, history. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I guess. In my mind, there is, but to each their own.
Boy, what a grump.
I'm not even a grump. I just don't understand that thought process. You have both sides of it. Some people want to go. I was disappointed in my cousin. Life, as a matter of fact, grandma back in, 1990, mixed up the Christmas gifts. My cousin Nick was an Islander fan, so she thought I was an Islander fan, got me an Islander jersey. I said, what's this? I don't want this Islander jersey.
Even then, we weren't sure.
The only Islander jersey I want is not from you, Grandma. If the owner himself hands it to me, I'll take that. I'm not taking it from you. So return to sender, and they gave me a Ranger jersey instead. But diehard Islander fan his whole life, season ticket, sending me pictures yesterday about Ovechkin. I'm thinking, you remember Dale Hunter when he took out Pierre Turgeon? You're getting behind a Capital, breaking the record here. This is a hated rival here, the freaking Capitals. Come on, BT, division rivalry.
All right, are the Capitals, well, no, they're not. I was going to say, are the Capitals akin to the Red Sox from a Yankee perspective? or the Braves from... No, see, I don't think they are.
Nobody trumps the... You know,
well, that's what I'm saying. Nobody trumps the Rangers Isles, yeah, you know, maybe yeah, right. from a Ranger. Yeah. No, no, nobody
Devils,
does.
Rangers, Islanders, I get that. So but that's different. It's a local thing.
So it's like the Toronto Blue Jays.
BT
or the Expos back in the day for you guys. Or
the
Cardinals now.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Scott is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, guys. Love the show. But Sal, I really got to talk to you about this. Your take on Ovechkin. I'm kind of shocked by it, to be honest. First of all, you bring up the perfect game comparison, but it's apples and oranges. If you're sitting through a ball game and you don't see a player get on base for nine innings, that's a hellacious experience. In a hockey game, scoring one goal, I mean, eight or nine goals are scored in a game. It very rarely is one.
Well, what would you root for, though? Forget the experience, Scott. In the baseball example, what would you root for? Are you a Met fan or Yankee fan?
I'm a big Met fan.
Okay, so let's say the Mets are getting no hit. It's a miserable experience.
But they're different things.
Well,
I would never root for a no hitter or a perfect game.
Okay.
But they're complete. If a player, even on the Braves, I've been thinking about this. If Jeter, en route to his 3,000th hit, went to Fenway at the end of his career and was to get one base hit in Fenway Park, do you think that he would? What would be the ovation?
Great question.
Standing ovation.
It's a great question. I like that one.
They would give him a standing ovation.
I agree. I think. And last point, and then I'll hang up and listen.
Now, hold on a second. There is a difference between a standing ovation to acknowledge the accomplishment and rooting for him and cheering loudly as he gets it.
But I think if the Red Sox in a lost season, I'm not a hockey guy, unless the Rangers are in the playoffs. But if it was a lost season for the Red Sox, I think a fair amount of people, and the vitriol for Red Sox fans toward Yankee fans, let's agree, is much worse than Caps Islanders.
There's no question.
I think they'd be going looking to see the hit. Because
Scott, one thing,
one
though. Scott, one thing that is important. It would be very hard to determine the percentage of Red Sox fans reacting, because if that scenario that you presented actually was, like, did happen back then, Yankee fans would flood the secondary ticket market, so we wouldn't be able to decipher what Yankee fans are cheering versus Red Sox fans reacting favorably to somebody that they hate losing to but that they respect.
Also, let's not pretend that there wouldn't be a large faction of Red Sox fans that would be rooting against Derek Jeter getting that hit against them.
I think you could be right, but rooting against, but then reacting in the moment when it happens.
But that's different. Islander fans were rooting for.
How do you know?
They went to that game wanting to.
How do you know that?
I know they were.
You don't know that?
How about if they're texting me pictures afterwards, then you know it, and you could see the reaction.
You don't know that. You're assuming that.
They went there wanting to see history, which is their right.
Yeah.
But they were rooting for that, wanting to see history. I would bet that the majority, if not all Red Sox fans, would say, if he gets it, we'll acknowledge it as a classy fan base. I do not want to see Derek Jeter get hit 3,000 against a Red Sox. That would be the mindset. I'm assuming the same thing for you. Would you want to see David Ortiz get hit number whatever? Just
I would not, because, you know, forever when you go through the montage is the Hall of Fame stuff. And,
yeah.
the, you know, the every here's the pitch to Ortiz. There it is, number three.
This,
and you see whomever is on the mound for the Yankees. I don't want to see that visual.
This record may never be broken. And the last two guys to score those goals, Gretzky, 894, Ovechkin, 895, those go the record, prior record goal, and then the record breaking goal will forever be shown against the Islanders.
Well, in 30 years, the Islander fan has another big moment coming up. Get ready for it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Mark is at Oceanside. What's up, Mark?
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's
good.
Up?
As a diehard Jet fan, I'd rather see a leak in my faucet than see Tom Brady break a record in front of me.
Yeah, but that's not, you're equivocating two things that aren't equal. Tom Brady's existence to the Jets, that relationship, is not the same as Ovechkin to the Islanders.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh. Okay. And I have a question for you, BT.
Yes.
Clearly, I'm sorry, for Sal. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The Mets pitching has been outstanding so far this year, just brilliant. But I'm watching two players on the Mets who should not be getting any at-bats. And that's Brett Beatty is not a major league player. He's got to be sent down. They got to put Acuna in there till
McNeil
gets back.
It's over. I've seen enough. Who's the second one?
And the second one is this Jose Siri.
I'm not going to go there yet, Mark. Thank you for the call. I'd be curious your take on this, BT. And I'm not, when I say it's over, meaning that I didn't believe in Beatty to begin with, and now we're seeing this start through nine games. I don't think the Mets need to pull the plug just yet, but he's just not. He's not a major league.
I do want to see his numbers. It's getting impossible to defend him at this
point. Horrible.
I know.
He doesn't even give you quality at bats. He's not good defensively.
I know.
It's over. Acuña at least can run. He can field. He gives you quality at bats. I love Acuña. There's something to his game. I think he's going to be an important part of this team moving forward at the bottom of the order.
Yep.
Siri, I'm not giving up hope on. He'll get going eventually.
Well, he is what he is.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He can run. He's got some pop. He's got some flash in the outfield. He is a free swinger who's not going to give you a lot of quality at bats. But if you watch him on the right night, he'll look like a superstar. So, and you knew that when you signed him.
Right.
The Beatty, see, the only thing, and I'm certainly much more, it's not going to happen than it is, but because the Mets are playing well as a team, the urgency's lessened here, and the evaluation period grows.
Can continue, exactly, which is fine.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know, or at least I feel, that it's not going to work. I'm not opposed to giving him a little bit more of an opportunity here. But when do you draw the line? At what point do you call it off?
I would say it would have to be a combination of three things here. Where, number one, if the Mets lineup 1 through 9 is inferior and or lackluster, and he's playing and he's just not producing, that's one. If you start to see signs that Acuña, and I mean even more than I like Acuña too, like even more visible signs that you just have to let him eat and let him run out of the stable and go be a young buck, which we might, then that's the other decision. So those are really they're intertwined. Like if Beatty continues to hit like a zero, and Acuña shows even a little bit more than he has, I think the decision makes itself.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what Stearns would do in this spot. This is not Joey Wendell where you could just move on from money. This is a young player.
We got McNeil coming back too, though.
Yeah, well, once that happens, that's it. Once McNeil comes back, then Beatty's. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe they just wait and say, okay, we'll give him an opportunity. Once McNeil comes back, he's going back down. They've done everything they could to try to give Beatty an opportunity, whether it be at third base last year, moving him to second base this year, get him some reps in the outfield. Like, they're trying to give him an opportunity to show that his bat can stick.
Yeah.
He just can't hit.
No.
He's a 4A player.
I don't know why. And he's not striking out a ton. I think he's got 7 or 8 strikeouts. Obviously, it's not good when you're hitting below 100, but I don't know what the deal is, man.
It's 9 games. I know. I don't want to overreact, but it's not just 9 games.
It's not. And it's also the throw the other day against the Marlins up the line where they got bailed out. I still don't know if they got the replay right. Great play by Torrens, and we talked about that. But, you know, he doesn't run.
8 strikeouts and 21 at-bats.
Oh, it is that high. I thought he had a few more at-bats than that. I mean, that's, you're talking, what, 8 is that 40% roughly? 8, 16, 24, 32.
If you want to help us with the
math
here.
That's got to be about 38, 39.
Send the guy to AA. I don't care. Just get
AA. Yeah, well, there's the math.
AA?
I just want him out of here. I don't need to see him anymore. He stinks.
You done with him? You're officially done.
I've been done with him for 2 years.
Yeah. I don't mind the opportunity. Like I said, last year I was, saying Vientos isn't going to make it. Remember, the Mets didn't have him up here. So I'm not going to go to that extent anymore.
Maybe we learned a lesson.
Yeah, a little bit. But with Beatty, like, we all knew. I think Vientos was the outlier. And by the way, he's got to prove himself because he's been. He's starting to hit a little bit over the weekend, which is good. And I think he'll be fine, but I worry about him a little bit defensively. Now you're starting to see some of the warts in his game get exposed. The Mets have been able to overcome it, so nobody's going nuts about it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, he's got to pick it up.
I will say, I look at that, that lower third, I don't like the bottom of the Mets order. Now it's amplified because Soto's not crushing yet, Lindor's not crushing yet. I look at some of these names, I'm like, and maybe this is more me than a Mets problem. Maybe I'm putting too much on, like, not name recognition, but just, I look at the bottom of every game, I still look at box scores, I'm like, it's just not a good bottom of the third.
Yeah.
Bottom third, but it's not good.
I actually don't mind it as much as you, but that's factoring in. I need Acuña in there. And once he's in there, now I feel good. And Siri hasn't done anything
Nothing.
Yet. He'll do something. He's got the speed and the defense, but his bat will, for a 9-hitter or a guy like that, you want to hit at the bottom of the order that's got the pop that he's got and the speed that he's got, I'm okay with that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up on the phones, 888-808-1019.
Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Justin's in Sayreville, New Jersey. What's up, Justin?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah. My wife and I have season tickets for the Knicks. Everyone you sit around is a tourist.
Right. Well, wait, hold on. But now we're going too much the other way. So there's no Knicks fans now at the Garden. What? I think there's a lot of tourists.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I would say it's pretty close, like 50-50, 40-60.
I don't know.
Where are you sitting, Justin? Not that I need the exact location. Give me a ballpark of where you're at, where your seats are at.
Literally directly center court in the 200 level.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. Seat. It's a good seat. That's so good seat. That's going to be one that a lot of people are more of the diehard fans are going to be sitting higher up or probably in the cheaper seats.
Yep.
Whereas a tourist, if Justin and his counterparts are looking to put tickets up for sale, those are going to be gobbled up by the tourist crowd.
Well, attendance talk earlier on BT and Sal. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I don't know how we got, well, the Mets attendance over the weekend, that's how we got started on that, which was impressive, and spinning the conversation forward, can this be a thing now where this is the beginning, the infancy stages of the Mets starting to get back to a high level of attendance night in, night out, not just the big games, which led us into the whole tourist stuff and whatever, but mm-hmm. I do think, BT, that we are in that beginning phase where the Mets are going to draw well. I thought opening weekend was a good sign of that.
Listen, what are the reasons you sign somebody like Juan Soto?
Yeah.
Is for that amount of years, which obviously, you know, same with the Vlad Guerrero contract. You get the final couple of years, it's not going to be good. Like the Yankees with Stanton, you know, it's going to be a problem. But that's the price of business. One of the reasons you do that is to, you know, reinstill the confidence in your fan base that we are different. We're different than we used to be, and you know, Met fans have been craving that forever. And they got a healthy dose of it with Juan Soto, and they're going to go out there and watch their team. And by the way, when you're emboldened by a playoff run and, you know, some players who have revitalized the way they're viewed in New York, like Lindor, you know, Pete was always loved, and then he was down, but now he's back up. There's just some good stories going on. They're winning some games now. Phillies are winning some games, too, you know, and we'll see what happens the rest of April. It's so early. It's a week and a half or 2 weeks into the season. But no, I do think the Mets attendance numbers will be very strong.
BT and Sal on the fan. Steve is in Nanuet. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Sal and BT, this is awesome. Right. Great show. Love listening.
Thanks, Steve.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
So the reason why I'm calling is you were talking about, you know, the owner giving to the fans giving to the owner, team and players giving to the fans. We go to about like four or five games a year. We go to day games. There was a lot of juice at the game. You know, my daughter and I pitched in the simulator. We took pictures with Mr. and Mr. Met. We saw all those five borough racers. It was a cool day. And top it off, my daughter, who is a competitive dancer, she took a picture with the dance team. She loved that.
There you go.
And we caught a Pete Alonso foul ball. It was a great time.
Yeah,
great
I mean, time, so. There's a lot of extra.
I definitely can't wait to go back.
Thank you for the call, Steve. Appreciate the time.
Sounds like an epic day to me with your daughter. You got a ball out of it, too. That's great.
Now, see, that's not for, you know, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, in my mind, peak fandom, prime fandom, 20-year-old Sal, I'm mm-hmm. going to the games. I want to watch the game. But he brings up a great point. It's become an experience. You go to these games now, and it could be any ballpark. It's not about the game. The game is almost secondary or a side note to everything else you could experience. Come check out this where you could guess your speed. Come check out the wiffle ball field, all the different food options. Yep. Come take pictures with this mascot or that mascot. Like, there's a million things that you could do, which I guess is appealing to some, and maybe I'll one day figure that out with my 4-year-old daughter, but I want to go watch the game. That's always been the case for me. I don't care whether it's being played at Jay or City.
Yeah, I just think that the consumer has to be shown something that matches the change in society. Things are sped up. Our attention span has changed. It's been altered. So I remember when I was working in Detroit, this was basically just starting my career. The conversation out there was, what the hell are we doing putting a Ferris wheel out in left field? I don't even know if it's still there. And it was for kids. Like, it was a tiger, like literally animals, like tigers, and it looked pretty cool. I'm like, what's the big damn deal? You take a tooth, you know, I've never had an issue with diversions at a game. I have never, because I like options. I think the options are good. I think the more things there are for kids to enjoy, I think the more likely it is for the parents to want to go back with their kids.
Right.
Now, my son's a baseball nut, and my daughter plays too. But I can't imagine. You want to go watch the Mets or the Yankees and your kids aren't too into it, which happens for a lot of people. It's got to be pure hell. Like the third inning. Mom, can we leave yet? Dad, right. Can we go? Right. Dad, is the game over yet? Dad, when are we leaving? Dad, when are we leaving? At least if there's other things you could go, whether it's with mommy or uncle or big sis or whatever, yeah, come back in 30 minutes. Dad is watching the game.
So they've done a nice thing incorporating everybody.
Yes.
Well, I could still go and get the game that I want to watch.
That's what I'm saying. And it doesn't impact you.
My wife could go and take. No, exactly right. The other thing that, and I think this is the bigger point, where we talked about, you know, this is not just a team playing well. It's about the owner building something and giving all those options and creating an intoxicating, fun environment when you know you're going to go to a ballpark and get electricity the majority of time. There are no guarantees. You're not going to win every single game, obviously, but the electric atmosphere, I told you, the light show and the music, like those are things, even though it's not my style, It is fun to be around when everybody else is into it. The best part about going to these games, and usually that's why the playoff games are the best, is because you got 50,000 people there, all on the same page, all going nuts. The energy of the crowd, starting with the anthem, whether it's at the Garden, whether it's at Yankee Stadium, City. So if you had that on a regular basis, and the Mets had that over the course of the weekend, that's not the norm for them. It is for the Yankees. That's not the norm. And when you experience that, you're going to want to go back and taste it even more as many times as you possibly can.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855 or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.